that, you know, sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of walking down the street or just doing your life, and you know, you're playing golf, whatever you're doing, and you have a hisoyrus, you know, all of a sudden something comes to you that I really have to change my life, and I really have to be, it seems to come from nowhere. I really have to do tshuva, I really have to learn more, I really have to be a tzaddik, I really have to give tzedakah. Some great mitzvah comes to mind. So that occasion, that event that happens, is called an event of Isarusa de Le'ela. Hashem gave me a gift. So it doesn't always come about through Mesorah. Sometimes it could just be direct from Hashem to me. That's also top down. So the Baal HaTanya points out that if that ever takes place, you have to keep in mind that that is only a beginning. It's only it's like your car doesn't, your battery doesn't work, your car doesn't start, and somebody comes from the outside and gives you a boost, you know, with their cables. You know, you can't drive around with your cables hooked up to the car next to you and be driving down the street that way. It might work, but it's not going to work, right? So that's, you can only go so far if your power, if your energy is coming from an external source, even if it's coming from Hashem. So says the Baal HaTanya, if you ever are zoche, and everybody is zoche from time to time, to Isarusa de Le'ela, you have to immediately make sure to concretize it, to internalize it, to work with it, to own it, and then to add upon it, to work with it, and to add upon it, and to grow with it. The work that you do is Isarusa de Le'ela, and that will stick. That will be there. Nobody can take that away from you. So the difference between the Mesorah, the difference between Shammai and Hillel, is what Shammai had can get lost. What Hillel had, nobody can take away. As long as we learn the rules, it's something like they do in yeshivas. Yeshivas are not so concerned about teaching you Torah. Did you notice that? It's the greater concern is to teach you how to learn Torah. Because you're going to be here for a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. But at the end, like what you need is the tool to be able to learn it yourself. Like I was thinking today, like it's amazing. Like most of the years that you learn in yeshiva, you learn like Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. You know, all of these Chosha Mishpat things, right? You know, law of damages and witnesses. And it's an amazing thing that usually when yeshiva bachurim grow up and they become part of society, they might know a lot of Torah, they might know Hilchos Shabbos, they might know a lot, they know Kashrus, they know a lot of things, they know everything but Chosha Mishpat, which is an amazing thing because that's what they were trained. So why don't they know Chosha Mishpat? So the answer is because when you learn the first six blot of a Masechta, the idea is not to know those six blot. I mean, you know them, it's good, but the idea is to learn how to learn. It's an exercise in learning, it's a tool. So you come to yeshiva to get a tool. So what Hillel was teaching was that this is all about the Sarusa Dulzat, it's about what we have to contribute. And here is the case where the Mesorah was lost. So even though the Mesorah was lost, we can recreate it and create our own halacha and our own Torah. So Torah started coming from the Oretz instead of coming from the Shemaim. That was the big difference between Shammai and Hillel. So when the Nesius of Klal Yisrael, right, the leadership of Klal Yisrael, moved from Shammai to Hillel, it moved from coming from up to down to moving from down to up. That's Shammai and Hillel. And that's what we spoke about. I spoke about that at length last week, a couple weeks ago. What's the big downside with the Hillel system? The upside is, it's like if you play broken telephone, if you play telephone, you end up with broken telephone, right? So if I'm going to tell you something, you'll tell them, he'll tell them, and go around the table, it's going to come out different. That's the problem with Mesorah. Whereas if you have the tools, if you have little brains to figure out, you can say, well, that couldn't be what it meant. It must have meant, it must have meant something different. And with your seichel, you can come back to what the first person said, right? So that's the advantage. The disadvantage is that since now it's not about coming from the top down, now it's about coming from us, the bottom up, Isarusa de Le'ela. Do you get the words Isarusa, Isarus de Le'ela, from below? So now what's going to happen is, perforce, you will have what? Machlokas. So all of a sudden, there was machlokus. Before the time of Hillel, it was a pretty simple religion. There was political arguments, but from a religious point of view, everybody knew what you're supposed to do. That's all. You didn't know, you asked the rabbi. There was a mesorah as to what you're supposed to do. Once the pshat is, I understand it this way, and you understand it that way, and there's no two minds that are the same, so what happens is that I'm going to process it one way, and you're going to process it another way, and hence we have a machlokas. So what happened here was that once, this is, by the way, why the Beis Shammai was so against Beis Hillel, because they said, you're being marred by machlokas by Yisrael. What are you doing? You're being marred by machlokas by Yisrael. All of a sudden, very beautiful, everybody's coming up with stuff, and everybody's being creative, and everybody's adding stuff, but now we don't have clarity, we don't have definite halacha any longer. What we have is machlokas. Once you have machlokas, now you got to start thinking about. So it wasn't just about the machlokas Hillel and Shammai. That wasn't even the big deal. The machlokas was Hillel and Hillel, Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel. Everybody within Beis Hillel was arguing, more so than arguing with Shammai, because the argument with Shammai was just a different argument between whether you go with the Masorah, whether you go with our halacha. Over here, the machlokas was, now that we have to be creative, and we're allowed to be creative, and we're allowed to figure things out, the fact of the matter is, k'shem sheparzufeim einam doim oizkach, deyoseim einam shavim. She's like, no two people have the same face, no two people have the same mind. So everyone's going to come up with a different idea, which is very beautiful, except the poor guy at the end user is not going to know what to do. All right, what am I supposed to do? Very nice. He finesses the halacha this way, he finesses the halacha that way, and everybody's got their own little pshetel over here and their own vart, but you don't have... Hence, like the Talmud Yerushalmi, I think I pointed this out last week, the Talmud Yerushalmi is a relatively thin volume. The whole Shas is only six, seven books, whereas the Talmud Bavli is shum, all of a sudden 20 books, 20 thick ones, and with Rashi, with Tosfos, with the Rishonim, everybody's arguing. So the documentation of a dialogue of Bavel, where they always went, Bavel was experts in going with their own Yud Gimel Dvarim, Shatar Nidreshes Behem, you end up with a much bigger state. So Torah ends up much, bigger and maybe more gishmak. And it's not just about some priest telling you what to do. There's tremendous room for creativity. People say if you're an Orthodox Jew and you keep halacha, like you're a bunch of robots. You ever hear people say that? It's like a bunch of robots. Everybody's doing the exact same thing. There's no room for self-expression. This is like one of the criticisms of Orthodoxy. Anybody who says that has never been exposed to it. Anybody who says that has never learned in a yeshiva. Because once you learn in yeshiva, you know that completely within the boundaries of halacha, there's a tremendous amount of room for creativity and self-expression, and the proof of the matter is, look at the books on the bookshelf, and you'll see 100 opinions about the smallest point, and that's a beautiful thing, that's a nice thing, that's a sign of the self-expression which exists. But what it comes with is machlokas. That's the point. So now let me just take you to a couple of generations further. Hillel had a lot of students, Beis Hillel. Gadol Shebehem, the Gemara says, Shmarnim Talmidim Hayu LeHillel HaZaken. Hillel had 80 students. Gadol Shebehem was, anybody know?
Yonazim
and Azil, very good. Shekol Oifa Shemayim, Sheparech Agavam Miad Nisraf. Every time the bird flew over his head, it went. Hard to understand, but that's what happened. Katan Shebehem, the smallest of the Talmidim were Yochanan ben Zakkai. Man knows his stuff. Yochanan ben Zakkai. What's with Yochanan ben Zakkai? Katan Shebehem, smallest of the Talmidim of Hillel. That he knew, he was able, even though he was hundreds of years before, he was able to figure out Kol Havayis of Abaya V'Rava. Yochanan ben Zakkai, by the way, was a hero. I mean, he was a tremendous hero. Not just as a huge Talmud Chacham that he knew Kol Havayis of Abaya V'Rava, and he knew Ma'aseh Merkava, and he knew everything that there is in Kabbalah and in Lamdas and in Halacha, and plus he knew the Chacham of Shlomo HaMelech. He knew how to listen to the birds talking, and he understood the different sounds and astronomy and astrology and everything he knew. But besides for all that, he was a great leader. He was a great leader, and he was the leader that officiated over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Time when leadership was like really, really, we were lucky we had a good leader at that time. So I don't know today, like, who are the big leaders. At that time, we had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to make some really tough decisions. The toughest decision probably that he had to make was Tein liyabne v'chachameha, meaning that when he met with Vespasian, he said to Vespasian, okay, you got us, you know, you've occupied Eretz Yisrael, you're their upper hand. So take Yerushalayim, take Tel Aviv, we won't give you any resistance over Bnei Brak, over Ashdod or Ashkelon, and give us Yavne, Tein liyavne v'chachameha. So this is like the first and the greatest land for peace deal that has ever taken place in the history of the Jewish people. Yochanan ben Zakkai gave away Eretz Yisrael. Hugely controversial. A generation later, Rabbi Kiva said that it was silly. It was a silly thing to do. Rabbi Kiva was a kanoi. He couldn't stand the idea that he gave away Eretz. He gave away Yerushalayim, but he did. He was a great leader. And what did he want? He wanted Yavne. He said that I believe that the cheshbon is that the Romans, the enemy in general, can remove the Masorah from us, which is what they were trying to do. What did they do? They said no smicha, you know, no karbonos, you know, all the things that have to do with Masorah, they said, are against the rules. What did they do in Yavne? They said, okay, the Romans can take away the top to the bottom, but if we have a little yeshiva in Yavne, then we can work from the bottom up. And we can recreate Torah. So Yochanan ben Zakkai's brilliant thinking at the time was that now I'm a Hillelian, right? I'm a Talmud of Hillel. So now that I'm a Talmud of Hillel, I know how to learn. And if I know how to learn, we can recreate the whole Torah. And that's something that the Romans can't take away from us. They could try to knock off the Masorah. And they did knock off the Masorah to a great extent. But they can't stop us from recreating Torah again. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Tein liyavne v'chachameha, it's not about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a place of Masorah. All of Beis HaMikdash is about the Shekhinah coming from Shemayim and resting on us. Beautiful stuff. Stuff that the prayers are made out of. But that's being taken away. At least we can recreate the Torah. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did. Is he said, Tein liyavne v'chachameha. What's interesting about it, though, is that after the destruction of Yerushalayim, and as we left, we all had to go to Yavne. Whoever was alive and whoever was left had to go to Yavne. Yavne, you know where Yavne is, right? On the way, if you drive from Yerushalayim to Ashdod, so you pass by Yavne. It's an unimportant place. Some place where it's inland a little bit. It's not some place where the Romans. There's not beautiful plantations there. There's nothing so good. What's in Yavne? Yeshiva. Karen Yavne is in Yeshiva. That's what's there. I mean, the beauty of Yavne is there's a kibbutz in Yavne, but it's not a place that the Romans were after. But so it's interesting. Everybody's going to Yavne. So it says the Gemara like this: that Kishacharva Beis Hamikdash, but Kishacharva Yerushalayim, rather, when Yerushalayim was destroyed. Holchu kol ha-chachamim le-Yavne. All the chachamim started to travel to Yavne. They were going to remake their homes in Yavne. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't go to Yavne. He's the man that said, Tein li Yavne, right? Tein li Yavne v'chachamel. Give me Yavne. So yes, he said Tein li Yavne, but he didn't go to Yavne. Where did he go? Anybody know? Come on, you were batting 100 over here. Halach lebror chayil. Went to a place called Bror Chayil, which is still on the map. It was Moshav, Bror Chayil. And a couple of his talmidim went with him to Bror Chayil. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch didn't go to, I think we spoke about it once, he didn't go to Yavne, and he didn't go to Bror Chayil with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. His wife said she had enough of the whole business here. There was Yerushalayim and the destruction. We lost our home. We lost everything. So they went to Diyumsi, Gemara says. Diyumsi. Diyumsi is probably Damascus. Some of the tour guides now say that it's not Damascus. It's in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Malkam Shahan, Nahar Hailech. It's a place where there's rivers and where there's waterfalls and beautiful plantations. You know, Boca. like enough of the tzaris, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach went there, and he sat and learned in Diyumsi. Went away from his chaverim. The Gemara reports on him that was a very bad move, because shachach kol talmudai, he forgot everything that he learned. Because ol chavrusa ol misusa, you have to be with the chaver. Yochanan ben Zakkai went to Bror Chayil. The other talmidim, the other talmid chachamim, the chachamim went to Yavne. And Yavne, they reestablished themselves again, reestablished the Sanhedrin again in Yavne. Now, why did a little history lesson here? Why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai go to Bror Chayil? Why didn't he go to Yavne? Like he, I mean, it's almost like hypocrisy here. He's begging for Yavne. He's telling everyone to go to Yavne, and he's not going to Yavne. So the answer is because when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spoke to Vespasian, so he said to him, besides for saying Tein li Yavne v'chachameha, let there be a yeshiva in Yavne, he had another request also. Anybody remember what was it? He had three requests altogether of Vespasian. First one was, the famous one was, Tein li Yavne v'chachameha. The second one is, you're letting me down, man. What is it?
The third one.
Get a doctor for Tzaddik. Tzaddik was fasting for 40 years, hoping the Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. By the way, you know when he started fasting? He started fasting by the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Because he was there and he saw that the Chacham weren't mocha. When something terrible happened, the Sinas Chinam was going on, and such politics and such hate, and he saw the Chacham weren't mocha, and he said, this is just a terrible thing, and he started to fast right around then. So he was very sick. He's fasting for 40 years. I presume he ate at night. He ate some bread with water, this and that, but he was very sick for fasting, and he made himself very ill. So he said, I want you to help me heal him, get him into a doctor, get him into a hospital. And what was the second one? How'd you know that was the third? Maybe that was the second.
It seems minor.
In comparison to the history of the Jewish people. So the second one is major. Okay, I will keep you in suspense no longer. He said, Tachter shall shelter the Gamliosa. Let the chain of Gamliel return. Meaning that Hillel had a son, grandson, maybe either son or grandson, Machlokas, called Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel Hazake. Rabbi Gamliel had a son whose name was Shimon ben Gamliel. Shimon ben Gamliel was the second of the Asara Haruge Malchus. First of the Asara Haruge Malchus was Rabbi Shmuel Kain Gadol, and the second of the Asara Haruge Malchus was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Why did they kill him? They killed him because this was even before they were killing people. They killed him because they saw that the Hillel dynasty, and this gets us back to what we're talking about, the Hillel dynasty was so strong and it became so powerful as leaders. Hillel, Rabbi Gamliel, I think it was Shimon ben Hillel, then Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, then Shimon ben Gamliel, they were so strong that the Romans were constantly petrified of rebellion of the Jews. And they said that if we let the Gamliel family continue to reign, there's going to be a rebellion. There will be a rebellion. So their answer was two things. They said, let's kill Shimon ben Gamliel, which they did, for no apparent reason, by the way. It's not like, Rabbi Akiva was in their face. They just killed him. And they said, nobody in the Hillel family is allowed to be Nasi any longer. In other words, they targeted the family of Hillel, the Romans did, saying that if we keep the Hillel family out of leadership, so then we won't get the kind of rebellion that we were worried about. And the way they saw it was very correct, because the fact is that Hillel, as I spoke about last week, was actually went back all the way to David HaMelech. So it wasn't just, they didn't look at Hillel as just like a rabbinic leader. They looked at Hillel as a Mashiach, a Melech. Dangerous stuff. And the family of Hillel, they saw as kings, not just as Nesiim. The Beis HaNasi was Man Malchi Rabbonon. Who are the kings? Rabbonon. The Rabbonon means the Beis Hillel, the family of Hillel. So they said, no more Gamliels. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said like this, Tein li yavne v'chachomeha v'tachzor shel shelta d'gamliyasa. It's two things he asked Vespasian that he thought he could get away with. He was negotiating carefully. And when you think about it, it's amazing, because everybody with me here? When you think about it, it's absolutely amazing, because the Yavne represented total creativity of Torah. Shalshelta the Gamliosa, Shalshelis is a chain that starts from a high place and goes to a low place. So even though it was Hillelian and not Shammai, it still represented Masorah. It still represented Masorah, but it was a new Masorah of Hillel. So the anti-Masorah, if you will, became the Masorah. It became the Masorah. The Masorah was, like, we go like Beis Hillel. So he pulled a fast one on Vespasian, in a sense, because he said, let's get, you killed Shimon ben Gamliel. Shimon ben Gamliel has a son, Gamliel Hasheni. There were three Gamliels altogether. One was Rabbi Gamliel Hazaken. One was Gamliel Reb Shimon, and then another couple generations there was another Rabbi Gamliel. It was always Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel, Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel, Gamliel. The third Gamliel is a different, not the third Gamliel and the first Gamliel is not the topic of this conversation. The topic of the conversation is Gamliel, the middle one, Gamliel 2, as he's called. Gamliel 2. This Gamliel 2, he said, let him come, let him go back. And Vespasian agreed that, okay, he could be the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, which meant, by the way, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying, I'll step down. You hear this? He was saying, I'll step down. I'm willing to step down. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was like an interim Nasi. The only reason he became the Nasi of Klal Yisrael and the head of the Sanhedrin is because there were no Hillelians around. So they took a Talmud of Beis Hillel. Took a Talmud of Hillel. But instead of a Talmud, he said, let it be the family of Hillel. And he stepped aside so that the family of Hillel, the Gamliel family, shall shelter the Gamliosa, can come back and be in leadership. Yochanan ben Zakkai was so big at that time that if he would have moved to Yavne, so what would have happened would be that really Gamliel wouldn't have been the president. He wouldn't have been the Nasi of Klal Yisrael and of the Sanhedrin. People would have still kept on going to the Gadol Ador for Yochanan ben Zakkai. So his answer to that was he moved to Bror Chayil. And that's why Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't move to Yavne. So we got some historical backdrop here. So what we learned here so far, just to review, is that in principle Hillel, Beis Hillel became the voice of Halacha. So everything was from us, everything came from earth. That's what Yavne stood for. And Rabbi Gamliel became the Nasi, and what we learned was because everything was so Hillelian, so there was Machlokas in Klal Yisrael, which is ironic because Hillel was the one who said, when Hillel became the Nasi, he said, having me talmid of Shal Aharon, Oyev Shalom, Roydev Shalom, Oyev Sabrius, and Makarv and Latoyer, he was the one who said that Shalom, 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 everything is Shalom. But the truth of the matter is, Hillel was the one who made all the machlokas. So it's a little bit different than the way we usually look at it. We usually look at Shabbai more like the Baal Machlokas type. And Hillel was the more the peaceful one, as he said. No, he was more peaceful in the sense of with people, but his derech and halacha was not peaceful at all. By the way, if you look at even that Gemara that we learned together in Pesachim about the Korban Pesach, I mean, Hillel was very sharp. He was very sharp in his criticism of the Beis Shabbai. You're in this position because you're lazy and you didn't learn well enough. And he gave the mussar. Hillel wasn't such a Hillel. He wasn't such a softy. He was a very, very strong man of conviction. And what you believe in and what you think in, that's what you have to go with. Wahalacha, that was the Hillelian thing. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted that to get established, so he moved to Bror Chaya. Okay, so now I've taken you from Hillel a few generations all the way into Yavne. Yavne, Rabbi Gamliel was the boss. One of the other Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua was also Gadol HaDor, bigger than Rabbi Gamliel probably. See, to be a Nasi, you're called Rabban. Rabban shall call Ne'agayla. Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. The way you know when somebody was a Nasi of Klal Yisrael is because they're called Rabban. Reb, Rab, Rebbe, Rabban. And then the Gemara says that's the order of Chashivas. Reb, Rab, Rebbe, Rabban. Rabban means a Nasi, but Gadol me Rabban, and there's only one classification, one title which is higher than Rabban. Anybody know what it is? What could be higher? Rabbi. What could be higher than Rabban, right? So the verse says, Gadol be Rabban, Shmai. No title at all. Hillel. Hillel wasn't called anything. Gadol me Rabban, all the names, all the titles, the biggest title is no title at all. To say a svara, why is that?
The person's so well known, you don't need to give him.
Right. Because a title is sof kol sof, a title is external. Like you can like, let's say, the President of the United States. You can like President Obama, you can not like him, you can talk about him, you do like his policies, you don't like his policies. When you walk into his office, you're going to have COVID for him. Why? Because it's the office of the President of the United States of America. It doesn't make a difference if it's Obama or Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. It's the office of the President. So what was going on with these titles is it was the office of the Nasi. But Gadol Bikula, Gadol Birabot Shmai means that with Hillel, he was listened to, he was beloved, not because of his office, because of him. So that was something that left. Today, if you call, a great Gadol by his first name, so it's a chutzpah, And not only that, but, you're stripping him of his office. Oh, good. So Gadol Rabban Shmai. So here we have Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and here we have like a fascinating piecing together of history that these seem to be isolated things, but they all work together like a puzzle. Rabbi Gamliel was worried about, ironically, he was worried about the machlokas be Yisrael, because even though it was his grandfather that caused all those machlokas, at the end, there has to be some structure. There has to be some system of halacha. He was worried about people going with Beis Shabbai. He was worried about people going with Mesorah. And he was worried about all of the argumentation. And he says, Yarba, Sheba, Yarba, Machlokas, Mishroba. But Rabbi Gamliel was constantly worried about the fact that there's going to be so much Machlokas that it's going to split the Klal Yisrael apart. Because we can see Machlokas can be a very positive form, very positive thing, and it can be a very negative thing. So, one of the things Rabbi Gamliel was trying to do, for instance, was he's the one who straightened out tefillah in a real way. Meaning that Shimon HaPakuli Sider Eshmarna Sebrachos Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel B'Yavna, the Gemara says. Shimon HaPakuli, there was no Shmona Esrei. Shimon HaPakuli was the one who figured out. He was a cotton picker. HaPakuli is a cotton picker. He was the one who was able to restructure with the Hillelian method. He was able to restructure the Shmona Esrei. Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel B'Yavna. So they made halachas. They made a siddur. They made, until then, everybody davened the way they wanted to daven. Whatever was in your heart, you davened. So here you have an ironic twist in history, because we went from the most creative school of thought in Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden, instead of being creative, saying this is the way you got to daven and don't change it. You have to daven Shema Ezra exactly this way. You have to say Shema exactly that way, and this is what you have to daven three times a day. Everything was Mesudar. Mesudar, would you would think, would be the opposite. So he's, but he had to do this because he was a grandson of Hillel, and because people were all over the place, and Klal Yisrael is becoming agudas, so many different factions. He said, it's my way or the highway. Hence you have Gemaras all over Shas, where Rabbi Gamliel insisted that nobody's allowed to argue with him. Right? It's like an ironic twist in history. Let's look at this very famous Gemara for a minute and try to understand them in a different light now that we have the historic background. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says in Brachos Chav Zayin, I'm sure you know the Gemara. Ki Yadu Alechem. Ma'aseh B'Talmud Echad Shebal Lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. I'm going to learn a little Gemara here. It's a story in Yavne about a Talmud that came to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua went, he was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, Rabbi Yeshua was the Rosh Yeshiva. One of the Talmidim came to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Amarle, and he asked him, Tfilas Arvis, Rishus, or Chayva, that now that we're setting up all of this tefillah and the Siddur and the system of doing it, is Marv a Rishus or is Marv a Chov? Meaning, do you have to daven Marv or is it optional? That was the Shaila. Amarle, Rabbi Yeshua said Rishus. Rabbi Yeshua answered him, the Marv is optional. Okay? A little bit later, Rabbi Gamliel comes into the yeshiva, Nasi of Klal Yisrael. Is Marv optional or is Marv an obligation? Now you understand the question? The question is, Rabbi Gamliel said you got to daven three times a day. So why are you, Rabbi Yeshua, saying that it's a reshus? I'm making rules. Rabbi Gamliel said, I'm making rules here. There's rules. You're supposed to go to shul. Shafer is mincha Marv. If there's rules... So what is this question, if Marv is a Rishus or a Chova and Rabbi Yeshua, why are you going against my rules? It wasn't just a difference in opinion. By saying that it was optional, what he was saying is that an obligation that Rabbi Gamliel put onto the table was only optional. Yeah, I really have to do it. Like the Gedolim say, you're not allowed to look at the internet. Okay, it's optional. You don't really have to, But like, what are you making it optional? Rabbi Gamliel says, so what happens over here? Overlay, Habtinat Sheikhnasu Bali Trisan Labes HaMedrash. Okay, they say to Rabbi Gamliel, they said to Rabbi Yeshua, is it Rishus or Chayyim? He says, it's Rishus. They say to Rabbi Gamliel, what is it? He says, it's a Chova. Overlay, so this Talmud says, Haloi Rabbi Yeshua, Overlay Rishus. He's like a nudnik, right? Why? I just asked Rabbi Yeshua to Rosh Yeshiva, and he says that it's a Rishus. He wants to get a good argument going over here. Arbelay, Rabbi Gamliel said, Habtenat Sheikhnasu Bali Tris in the Beis HaMedrash. Okay, let's wait a little bit longer. The Chachamim are coming in, and we'll see. Let's wait. Mishenichnasu Bali Trisin, in other words, re-ask your question to the whole Beis HaMedrash. Mishenichnasu Bali Trisin, Rashi says, Bali Trisin, Chachamim HaMenatzchim Zezeh Bahalacha, Chachamim that argue about every aspect of Halacha. Mishenichnasu Bali Trisin, Omar HaShoyel, he gets up again, this fellow. Bishal, and he asks, Phil's harvest Rishus Oichoiva. Okay, what's the halacha? Avrilay Rabbi Gamliel, and at that point, in front of everybody, Rabbi Gamliel says, I said it's a chov, right? It's a chov. What I say is law, it's an obligation. It's not just a good idea, it's the law. Avrilay Rabbi Gamliel, l'chachabim. So Rabbi Gamliel looks out and he says, now he knew, he had already told him that Rabbi Yeshua argued with him, right? Does anybody disagree with me here? Do I have a dissenting view? Rabbi Yeshua stands up. Rabbi Yeshua, lav. Nope. I'm with you, man. What?
I don't get that part. Why did he say lav?
Maybe he changed his mind. Okay, he's the Nasi. You're asking me my opinion. I think it's a Rishus, but he's the Nasi, so I'll say, out of covenant for the Nasi. He says,
why doesn't he just say anything?
You wanted me to just sit down, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. It's like a psychological question.
Do you know maybe that Ramil's trying to prove a point? Maybe that this guy, this thing came to him, and now Ramil wants to see if he's going to test him.
Right. Maybe he wants to prove a point. Maybe he wants to show that he's on Rabbi Gamliel's side.
Yeah.
By the way, the kid who asked the question, the Gemara says later, who was the Shoel? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Yeah. Kid who asked the question. It's important because probably Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, or Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Gemara says, Tairosa Yublosa, he never stopped learning. 24/7 he was learning. He never stopped learning. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So he comes and he asks, do I really have to daven barv? I mean, for me, you know, davening barv is an interruption of my learning. Somebody else, you know, so daven barv. So Rav Yeshua said to him, this is, I think, the answer to your question. Rav Yeshua said, for you, look, we don't have to get carried away. It didn't mean you. He means for the rule, for the minyan, of Klal Yisrael, for most people, it's an obligation. For you, it's a rishus. But anyways, he got Rabbi Gamliel upset. Ba'alei b'shim chaberli rishus. I was told in your name that it's a rishus. Amrlei, so Rabbi Gamliel said, Yeshua, aboy dal raglecha, stand up. This is the Rosh Hashim he's talking to. Stand up. V'ya'idu b'cha, and we will say edus on you that you argued with me. Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ragla, Rabbi Yeshua stood up. Amar El Molei Ani Chai V'Humeis. Look, if I was alive and he was dead, Yachol Achai L'Hagish Hashabes. You know, when somebody dies, you can say whatever you want. You know, Achshav Shani Chai V'Huchai Heich Yachol Achai L'Hagish Hashachai. What can I say? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is alive. I'm alive. I can't deny it. Okay, I cannot tell a lie. I said Tfil Zarvish is Rishus. Hayu Rabbi Gamliel Yoshe. Rabbi Gamliel was sitting v'doresh. He was saying drushes. Rabbi Yeshua, I made al ragla. Rabbi Yeshua was remained there standing. Meaning he punished him, and he said, "You're not allowed to sit down." You're not allowed to sit down. You stand. Like stand in the corner. All the people start to get upset. Like, what is Rabbi Gamliel doing to the Rosh Hashiva? Like, this is really not right what he's doing to the Rosh Hashiva. Abru l'chutzpah saturgimen abod. They said to chutzpah saturgimen, the turgimen was chutzpah saturgimen. It was also, by the way, one of the SRR gemalchus. They said to Chutzpah Saturgimen, stop translating the shir. In other words, it was a big room with a couple hundred people, and they couldn't hear Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Gamliel used to talk low, and this Chutzpah Saturgimen used to say it louder, say it like a microphone. He was the microphone. Saying kinos that Chutzpah Saturgimen, they killed him, the Romans killed him, and they put him to the dogs, and a dog grabbed his tongue and was walking around with his tongue, and years later, Acher saw Chutzpah Saturgimen's tongue in a dog's mouth, and that's when he went off to Derech. This is the tongue that said over the Shiurim of Rabbi Gamliel. You know, so it wasn't just anybody's tongue. like, how could it be? How could it be? It just didn't work with him, so he went off to Derech. Amad, so the shir stopped, and there was a mini meeting in the Beis Medrash. Omri, and they said, "Ad kam and tsar of nasal. We can't let Rabbi Gamliel keep on doing this to our people. How much is he going to be mitzaros? Rosh Hashanah, ishtak itzare. Rosh Hashanah. There was a story with Rabbi Yeshua, a different story, which is a Gemara, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua argued with him on when Rosh Chodesh was." And Rabbi Gamliel says, "I say when Rosh Chodesh is, you don't say when Rosh Chodesh is." And it came out that according to the way Rabbi Yeshua held Rosh Chodesh was, it comes out Yom Kippur was on a different day. So Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua that I'm not going to forgive you unless you come to me carrying your muksa bag with your briefcase on your back with money in it on Yom Kippur, Shechal Yis B'Shabbos, according to your cheshbon. Meaning, I want to see that you are completely subservient to me, and you're willing to be Mechalel Shabbos and Yom Kippur to listen to me. So they said, okay, first they get about Rosh Hashanah. B'mchayrois b'maisin to Reb Tzadok. Another story with Reb Tzadok, Tzare. Hachanabi, this is the third time. Tanavre, let's get rid of Rabbi Gamliel. So, let's get rid of Rabbi Gamliel. Tanavre. Okay, everyone knows the story, right? Man noikim los. The Gemara says, well, who should we put in this place? This was big. This was big stuff. This was a question of, so what happens here is, the leadership of Klal Yisrael was in question because the grandson of Hillel was not being Hillelian. He wasn't letting anybody express their halachic opinion. Rabbi Yishuv was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was a Gadol HaDor. He wasn't letting him talk, being Mitzarah him. So he can't be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Okay, he's making... See, Rabbi Gamliel says, the Gemara says in Gittin, just as a parenthesis here, the Gemara says in Gittin that Rabbi Gamliel was on a ship. And the ship started to, the storm came to sea and the ship started to sink. And Rabbi Gamliel understood that the reason why the ship was sinking is because he was Mitzaer, so many Talmidei Chachamim. So he stood on the deck of the ship and he screamed out to Shemayim and he said, "It's Yadua Lacha," he said to Hashem, he says, "You know very well, the Loi Lechvoidi, I wasn't after my own covet, the Loi Lechvod Beis Avod, I wasn't after the covet of my father, of Hillel, my father's house. I was only worried about your covet," he said to Hashem, "Shal Yarve Bachleikis B'Yisrael. Too much Bachleikis, it's not covet for you." And the storm stopped. So it's not that he was a bad guy, but he had this shita that we have to nip the problem in the bud. He saw a new problem, sort of a new cancer coming up in Klal Yisrael called machlokas, and he said, "Let's get rid of the machlokas from Klal Yisrael." Okay, so they fired him. Who should we get? The Gemara says they asked each other, "Who should we get?" Nukmele Rabbi Yeshua. Well, Rabbi Yeshua was the obvious candidate. Can't Balmaisa. He can never make the Balmaisa, you know, then it looks like sour grapes. Like, we get rid of Rabbi Gamliel, we put up his opponent. No good. Look, Billy Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Gadol HaDor sitting there in Yavna. Young Rabbi Akiva was only about 70 years old or 65 years old at the time. Look, Billy Rabbi Akiva. It's not going to work either. Dilba Adishle Delesle Schusavos. He might have problems because it doesn't have schusav, meaning he's a Baal Tshuva. Don't make a Baal Tshuva the Nasi, he doesn't have schusav, so he's coming. No good. He should have been the Nasi. Nukmila Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So they picked out Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was only, as you know, 18 years old at the time, because he qualified. Huchacham. I mean, listen, this is two lines in the Gemara. I imagine this was a 3-week discussion. Who should be the Nasi? He's a Chacham, who Ashir, who Asiri Ezra. And he's straight from the generation of Ezra. See how they fell right back? They fell right back into that Shabbai mode. Yichus, he has Yichus. Asiri Ezra,
so. Isn't the problem with Rabbi Akiva also is that
he didn't have Yichus. So this guy has Yichus. He was young. He never got called. He was never called Rabban Elazar ben Azariah.
Wasn't Elazar ben Yichus also around that time?
Yep.
He wasn't considered.
Shamusihu. Next week's shir. He was thrown out.
All right.
Another problem. Hu Chacham, he's a smart man. Elazar ben Azariah, Machshelah, Mefarikle. Whatever he asked him, he could answer. He's rich. I don't know how he became rich. Who Asiri Lazarus? He says Chusavos, and he has Chusavos. Like Saul says, Leimotze Anishlei. They can't. Nobody's going to be able to get him. He's a young guy. Also, Vamr Le Nichale Lebard LaAvi Reish Masiftar. You ask him to be. See, this is a very interesting gemara because they fired Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, and they asked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, "Do you want to be the Reish Masiftar?" That's why I said they didn't call him Rabban. It's not clear to me that he actually became the Nasi. A young guy. You'll be a leader in the meantime, like the interim rabbi. If you ever decide to become a rabbi, don't become an interim rabbi. It's like a despised position. It's like the weakest position. It's like the weakest position to ever be in, because you have no continuity. Everyone's constantly judging you. Nobody accepts the fact that you're the Rav. So you're the interim rabbi, and they're paying you half price because you're only an interim rabbi, right? So what does he say? Amr Lahu, Ezel v'imlech v'anshi besi. He says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll go ask my wife. You see, he was young. Ezel v'imlech v'dvisu, he went and asked his wife what she thought. Amrlein, she said to him, Dilma mavirin lecha, what do you mean? Today you're going to be the Dasi, you're an interim rabbi. Dilma mavirin lecha, today you're going to be the Dasi, tomorrow you're not going to be the Dasi, they're going to find somebody better than you, you're going to up and down, like, what do you need all this for? Amrlein, so he said to her, yeah, but, let's say you get to use a beautiful glass keli for one day. Like, such a schus to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, even if it's for a day. I'll be a leader for the day. That'll also be something. So he goes ask his wife, but he doesn't listen to his wife. We have to finish the Gemara. We have to finish the Gemara next week. But the point I want to make here, because the Gemara gets more interesting, then we have to get into Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, which is just fascinating the way this worked. But let's sum up the point. The point was that what happens is that as Beis Hillel, that there's a natural tendency to need order. So there's an adjustment in history that keeps on taking place every couple of generations. And the adjustment goes from Masorah to creativity. Too much creativity, we need some more Masorah, let's get the rules straight. Too much Masorah, too much rules, let's go back to creativity. Well, Elazar ben Azariah, the Gemara says, the next thing the Gemara says, the first thing he did, his first act of Congress, was he opened up the doors to the Beis HaMedrash, and hundreds and hundreds of new people came in. What does that mean? It means to say that they were keeping it elite. They were keeping it exclusive. Rabbi Gamliel, Shlomo Machlokes Yisrael, was keeping it like a very, very... Whenever it came to Masorah, the grandson of Hillel was keeping it very Shammaitic. And Elazar ben Azariah, who was from Ezra, so the whole thing was the Masorah, said, no, let's go back to the Hillel system. Remember, Hillel was sitting up on top of the roof. They wouldn't let him into the Beis Medrash. Hillel himself, they wouldn't let him into the Beis Medrash because they didn't have enough money to get in the time of the predecessors of Shammai, Shmaya Vatalion. He couldn't get in. So here is Elazar ben Azariah has to say to Hillel's grandson, remember your grandfather? So he opened up the door, got rid of the Shomer of Pesach, you got money, you don't have money, you're on the Madrig, you're not the Madrig, everybody can come to learn. The Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel was okay, he didn't stop coming to the Beis Medrash. When he saw that there was an extra 700 people there, Sheva Mayazish, Kol Shadaita, the Mepharshim say, he remembered his grandfather Hillel, he realized he had made a mistake. There's so much to get and there's so much to learn. So let's leave it here, because this is a point to leave it. What happens is that the Masorah becomes so strong that even the Masorah of Hillel becomes Shammai. And now we've got to open it up again. This is a cycle that has to take place. Probably it's like a conundrum that has to take place every three generations or so. A conundrum. You know what a conundrum is? Conundrum. A conundrum is it takes three generations, generally speaking, for something to adjust and for it to become something onto itself. Like when the printing press, the Gutenberg press, was invented, so people said, okay, what do we do with the press? What should we print? So all they could think of printing was the stuff that before that they were writing by hand. Okay, so instead of writing it, we'll print it. So there was no such thing as a novel. There was no such thing as a story. It took a few generations until the press became something unto itself, and all of a sudden there's stories, and all of a sudden there's textbooks, and all of a sudden there was a whole way of a form of communication. It took a while. Same thing with computers. Like people, when computers first came out, so everyone said, okay, they're fancy typewriters. Not realizing, no, these are methods of communication, of networking. It's a whole different story. That takes a few generations. That's a conundrum. The Hillelian conundrum has to readjust and readjust every few generations. You can follow it through history until it became the Besorah to be Shammai, the Shammai Dika Hillel, and then they had to get rid of Rabbi Gamliel in order to now put in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to straighten out and adjust the Besorah again. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll continue the story next week.